Broadcasting from the United States, we here at No Bad Ideas just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the pain being experienced across our country this past week. We hope our show can serve you as a fun distraction in these trying times. But before we get into today's program, we felt the need to say, Black Lives Matter. Far too often, and for far too long, the lives of our Black siblings, parents, and children have been disproportionately harmed, even murdered, and gone uniquely ignored. Until it is obvious in each and every street in this country, especially in the behavior of those entrusted to protect and serve our communities, that Black lives matter, we can no longer pretend that all lives matter. We've put some suggested nonprofits in the description of this episode if you feel called to contribute to organizations we feel are working towards moving us to an America we can be proud of. Thank you.
This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers, who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome to a special landmark episode of No Bad Ideas.
Technically, it's episode 99, but...
But it is our 100th episode week. This is the week when we're going to be getting to the point where we've been doing this show for 100 episodes. Our 100th episode is going to be Thursday's show.
Yeah.
So we thought that now would be a time to kind of take a moment, reflect on all the horrible journeys that we've been on together through this show. Just kind of like gaze back into some past abyss and celebrate some of the worst ideas that we've tackled on this show.
So what we're going to do on Thursday, we'll like get earnest and talk about what the show's meant to us and whatever.
Well, that'll be the schmaltzy episode.
Yeah, whatever. But today, each of us has found one of our favorite ideas from the past 98 episodes that we have brought to the group. And so we're going to bring them all back. We're going to bring back these returning champions. And we will give ourselves 15 minutes to try to come up with a story that incorporates all three of these bad ideas. It will be bad idea supreme.
Bad idea royale.
Yeah. Well, not really royale because they're not fighting each other. They're all ganging up on us.
Bad idea, Frankenstein monster.
There we go.
That's right. All right, then. Shall we get started? So shall we hop into the first of this bad idea triumvirate?
Yes, let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Zach. So what have you got?
Well, talking about hopping into things, why don't you hop into my... flooded car on our way to the liquor store.
No!
Straight from our episode
The Rocca Brothers
with Julian
Mundy.
The
Rocca Brothers return.
From episode 65 via Fox News, YouTube prankster appears in Australian court for, quote, scuba driving flooded car to liquor store in viral video. A YouTube prankster who drove a car filled with water to a liquor store and bought beer during a heat wave has appeared in Australian court to face charges related to the, quote, scuba driving stunt.
You guys remember when the biggest problem was doing things during a heat wave instead of doing things during a pandemic?
Yeah.
Oh, weird place to quarantine, though, a scuba driving car.
I guess the water could filter viral particles. Unclear.
That's right.
Unclear.
Yeah. They can't get you if you never come up for air.
Michael Alexander Philippou, 28, who has operated the Raka Raka YouTube channel with his twin brother Danny, appeared in front of the Christie's Beach Magistrates Court in Adelaide on Wednesday over several driving offenses. Philippou had posted the viral video in January 2019 showing him driving a modified Ford Laser with friend Jackson O'Doherty. The two men were seen wearing goggles and scuba diving regulators while driving the sedan during the heat wave. Quote, "Our car doesn't have air conditioning, so we designed a car which can drive while full of water," one brother said in the video, which has garnered over a million views. The suspension of the leaking sedan clearly struggled with the weight of water as it drove to the drive-in liquor store, which is the secret bad idea. Within this bad idea, this approach to doll.
I mean, I don't blink at drive-in liquor store because of the place where I grew up.
Right. Coming from New York City, that seems like a dangerous, dangerous phenomenon. But
there's for the passenger, Zach. You don't want to get out of your car.
But like, even so, there's something about like, here I am underwater in my self-driving car or my underwater driving car. I could sure use a drink right now that is like, no, what are you doing? Stop.
That is the next level bad idea, is doing this in a Tesla that can drive itself.
Next year on the Raka Raka channel.
Also, electric car filled with water sounds like a death trap.
This is the task for Elon Musk's son.
Jesus. So Philippou and O'Doherty bought two bottles of beer and drank them underwater. Philippou posted a follow-up video in December that showed police arresting him over the stunt. There's an amazing photograph and video of this scuba driving stunt.
As we said back when we first discussed this idea, it is absolutely worth going out of your way to like click on the link.
The video is wild.
It has to be seen to be believed.
Borderline mandatory. It's unbelievable. He was charged with several driving offenses, including driving in a reckless or dangerous manner, driving an unregistered vehicle, and failing to wear a seatbelt.
Classic.
On Wednesday, an entourage of supporters surrounded Philippou outside the court, where he told reporters he wasn't worried.
Of course not.
I'm confident as always, he told Australia's ABC. I've been ready for this. We've been training hard for this. It'll be quick. Magistrate Susan O'Connor relaxed Philippou's bail conditions to allow him to travel interstate before he's set to appear in court next in February. Philippou and his brother have achieved a cult following with their videos and have been named influential cultural figures by the media, ABC reported.
My God. Ugh, Jesus.
I feel like with that idea? We like had two feuding towns of like.
No. It was like a.
Their dad was the mayor of the town.
It was a group of like a group of pranksters led by these twin brothers who had a falling out, and so they kind of like splintered off into two complete competing.
Yeah, it was civil war. That's right.
But it was, you know, because they were the Raka brothers, it was Raka v. Raka.
That's right.
And I think that like at the end, there was even a sequel hook where the Rola sisters rolled into town
for to challenge their supremacy. That's right.
For the eventual sequel 1 year later, Raka v. Rola.
In a Sharks and Jets situation.
That's right.
Oh, what a terrible idea. I love it so much.
Zach, I am so thrilled that you brought this idea. Number one, because it's amazing. And number two, because it links seamlessly with my own idea that I brought. And I'm so thrilled that you just said the word sharks.
Oh, I'm excited. This was a strong second contender for me, too, if it's what I think it is.
It may not be. You may be surprised by what is about to happen. But from the vault. This is from one of our older episodes that is no longer on the feed, but it is available to our Patreon supporters. So if you want to listen to this classic NBI episode, you can do it by heading over to Patreon and supporting us with however much you feel is right. But from our episode with Emma Scherzarko.
Oh, yeah.
From the Huffington
Post. Oh, yeah.
We have Kiss makes big splash by performing concert for sharks.
Oh, yeah. Not what I was thinking of. This one. This is so good, though.
Let's get into it. So, idea number two. Having played nearly every corner of the earth in a nearly 50-year career, the rock band Kiss is taking its show to a new place, under the sea, where they will perform for great white sharks and eight fans, separated from them by a small submarine. As part of a promotion by Airbnb, which is really the worst part of this idea.
That's the worst part of this idea.
Actually, though, and RIP Airbnb, which isn't dead yet, right, but is really suffering.
My God. Yeah. So part of the promotion by Airbnb, the fans and Kiss will travel on November 18th. This was last year. So this happened now. This is now in the past. In separate boats off the coast of southern Australia, which, of course, Australia, everything
terrible is happening in Australia.
Planet Earth's Thunderdome.
Yeah, seriously. While Kiss stays above board on one vessel, the fans will be lowered beneath the surface of the water from a second boat into the viewing sub in an area known for shark activity.
Yeah.
Using underwater speakers, Kiss will begin playing, and the sound will be audible to the submerged fans and the sharks. Quote, I was a little taken aback by it, but they explained that sharks are attracted to low frequencies, and so they're attracted to rock and roll, singer and guitarist Paul Stanley told the Associated Press. Since we're going to be in Australia, it gives a whole new meaning to doing a concert down under.
Oh, God.
The first come, first serve event cost $50, a fucking steal.
Yeah,
which is half the price of a Kiss ticket. Even the worst nosebleed seats in the last row at Madison Square Garden. Proceeds will go to charity, the company said.
What would you rather, be in the last row at Madison Square Garden at a packed concert or swim with sharks? Because I have a very clear answer to that question.
I do as well. I do as well. The event will take place in the Indian Ocean off Port Lincoln, Southern Australia. Kiss will be in full makeup and costume for the performance, which will be at least four songs. Kind of a short set.
Short set.
I'm not sure how much of us the sharks can take, Stanley said. I'm hoping they know rock and roll all night. Stanley said Kiss bassist Gene Simmons has recovered from having some kidney stones removed recently and should be ready to perform well before the shark show. I tend to think he just ate gravel, Stanley joked. The event is part of Airbnb Animal Experiences and is designed to have people entertain animals instead of the other way around. What a strange initiative.
Yep.
As strange as it sounds, underwater concerts are not new. The Underwater Music Festival has been held for the past 35 years in the Florida Keys. The Shark Show has untapped potential if they want to do it again sometime. After all, what other concert could potentially bring together Great White and Air Supply? Oh.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Interlocking.
That's right. We have our two underwater, you know, electric, like, you know, we've got cars, we've got electric guitars, we've got them underwater, we've got drinking, we've got rock and roll, we've got rocka. This is a lot of synergy right now.
No, yeah, I'm about to destroy all of it. So I'm very glad that at least two of the ideas line up.
All right, what do you got, Sarah? Do your worst.
Yeah, it is. This is my worst. I mean, the one that has maybe given me the most joy. and it is from episode 63 mm-hmm. of the show. And it is an Am I the Asshole post from Reddit. Ooh,
so good.
Who asks the very simple question of Am I the Asshole for trying to sell my sandwich recipe to various delis in my town?
My personal Lord and Savior sandwich business has returned to No Bad Ideas.
Mostly, I just wanted to read this again out loud.
I'm so excited.
Because this post, y'all, I don't even care if it's fake. It's just too good.
Look, it's either like an amazing real life story of a terrible idea, or an amazing work of art. Either way, the exact intersection of what this show celebrates.
I think it might even justify in its existence the very existence of Reddit.
Possibly. But you can judge for yourself. I'm going to read this as briefly as I can, because it is a little bit long. So the poster writes, recently, I came up with what I think is a very delicious and innovative sandwich recipe. The ingredients complement each other beautifully, even though the combination is unique. I came up with a basic business idea to generate some extra money from this sandwich. The city I live in has a lot of delis, old school kind of places, and also newer hipster kind of places and everything in between. I have been approaching the deli managers at these delis with the following proposal. For a one-time fee of $50, I will sell them the recipe and also conduct a training session for their staff on how to properly make a sandwich and also educate them on the themes present in the sandwich. Then I will take a 20% cut of the price for each sandwich sold. So let's say a deli took my deal. They charged $10 for my sandwich, and then they only sold 10 of them per day. I'd make $140 per week, $190 the first week with my fee.
I forgot the commission was so steep.
It's so steep.
It's so funny. And I'm just, it just struck me that the themes might be religious.
Possibly. From one, so he would make $560 a month from one place. But to be honest, I have faith that my sandwich would probably sell 40 to 50 per day, given the volume of customers and the quality of my sandwich. So you do the math. Plus, I'd be having more than one deli sell it. The quality of my sandwich is a euphemism for something. I don't know what. ka-ching, he writes. I've approached 11 deli managers so far, and every single one so far has said no. And a few of them have even acted weird or even rude to me on the matter. Twice I got into a slight argument based on the interaction. They don't seem to understand the value of my sandwich. I think that maybe many of them are too proud to take on a recipe from an outsider, but I feel I am being reasonable. When I explain to my friends what I am doing, and that I intend to keep approaching delis on this matter, many of them claimed I was being an asshole by doing this. They think it is rude, basically, to ask a deli to sell my recipe and that I shouldn't fight for my dreams. I think my terms are generous.
I love the really jump. Yeah, I know. No, like the intuitive leap is like, whoosh.
Yeah, you're being an asshole. And don't fight for your dreams.
Don't fight for your dreams.
One of those may be an interpretation.
I think my terms are generous, and I am really only helping these delis. If they would only open their minds, if they sold my sandwich, their profits would grow measurably, even after I take my cut. Is it really that rude to try to sell my recipe? My friends are threatening not to go to lunch with me anymore because I have promised them I will try to sell my recipe when we do so, but all I am doing is trying to hustle. This has caused interpersonal conflict because I defend my dreams with passion, which leads to my friends accusing me of overreacting. And yes, I am passionate when I try to sway deli managers too. I even cried once, but it's with their own interests in mind, not just my own. Am I the asshole?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yes, you
unequivocally
are.
Gloriously.
Yes. Oh my God. That is an all-timer in the Bad Ideas Hall of Fame.
So I would love, I mean, this would be ridiculous, but if the joke's on us and they're just like swimming in a pool of money at this point.
I mean,
with their
good
thematically
for them.
Rich sandwich having succeeded.
All marketing is good marketing.
Okay, well,
wow.
I'm going to start a timer and we're going to have 15 minutes.
We're gonna need it.
Yeah, we're really gonna need it on this one to figure out how to tell a story that brings together these three bad ideas. Are we set?
We are.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Start the timer. 15 minutes on the clock. So we have an underwater car.
Yeah.
And an underwater concert
with
sharks.
And then sandwiches.
And a quality sandwich, innovative sandwich.
And mysterious sandwiches with themes.
That's right.
So this may be too simple, but here's my pitch number one.
Okay.
Lonely Sandwich Man has had no success.
Okay.
Selling his sandwich.
Of course.
And of course, in his mind, it's just for lack of exposure.
Right.
Having read in the local paper, because of course, at this point now, he is either a New Zealander or a Australian.
Australian, let's be real.
But just like in the ballpark of where this like shark marketing Kiss concert is going to go down, he realizes that there are no concessions. And that if he makes an aquatic car to drive down his delicious, irreplaceable sandwich recipe, he has a once in a lifetime opportunity to get out to the world this sandwich. Of course, he has to dodge being eaten by sharks in order to get the sandwich into Kiss's submarine. But I don't know. It's a little bit like maybe pastiche.
I was going to say, like, I think that that is a passable version of kind of just the slam of everything together.
The sandwich.
Again, like, hey. I think that there is something to be said for the slam is not bad. Like, you know, this is kind of like eerily workable.
That's actually the name of the sandwich. And the only superlatives that might apply to its decency.
The slamwich.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The slamwich. It's eerily workable.
That's the thing.
But yeah, no, I think that there's distinctly movements to this. I think that it begins with somebody trying to sell their sandwich. It middles with the innovative underwater car. And it culminates in the shark-filled underwater music extravaganza. I'm just not... my mind is still reeling a little bit from the possibilities of what the connective tissue might be in the middle there.
I mean, I went to a rather ridiculous place. And we don't have to all go there. But I kind of want to abstract this out and make it a little bit more fantastical, and like maybe Sandwich Guy lives in an underwater city that can look a little bit like Rapture from BioShock. And so that way the setting is already underwater, but like it's this very controlled environment where there are all these rules and regulations about what you can and cannot sell that prevent him from sandwich glory. And so, you know, he kind of has to bootstrap a way to sort of get that exposure that you were talking about, Zach, and like crashing a concert to sell the most popular band his sandwich and get them to be like, yeah, that's a really good sandwich. Might be the way to do it. But I don't know if we want to sort of keep it in the real world or try and create or try and world build around these three awful, awful ideas.
Amazing. I was just Googling images of BioShock's Rapture City, which I wasn't familiar with, and looks fucking amazing.
It is wild. Yeah. I mean, there's something that tickles my funny bone of kind of being like, welcome to the movie that is set in a mysterious city. 10,000 leagues below the ocean, the story of a society separated from the rest of the world, where one man tries to sell a sandwich recipe. You know, just kind of like the most mismatch between the fantasticalness of the setting and the, you know, the mundanity of the story. My sort of like alternative on how to kind of like bring a lot of these stories together is kind of like you sort of lean into the joke that Zach did earlier after we were done reading about the underwater car of you have this prankster group. They split off into like two groups. One of them is called the Sharks. They become, because they're sort of in this like escalating war of pranks. They start to get a lot of media attention. They become YouTube sensations. They are getting like so much fucking buzz.
They've got they've got a first look deal with Netflix, all of it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And so this lonely, frustrated, desperate sandwich man who is just at the end of his he's just at the end of his tether because no one will recognize the quality of his sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of goes, if I can get featured on the Shark's YouTube channel, then the world will know the quality of my sandwich. It's still a really bad plan.
Oh, like, terrible.
I have real trouble kind of getting behind this protagonist because his plan is so inept, and it would inevitably have to be a movie about like what a like sad, broken man this is.
What I was going to say, like the way maybe to adjust that is to sort of make it more like disaster artist-y, where it's really about the people around this figure that is so odd and strange.
Ah, got it.
And like his friends who...
who no longer want to go lunch with him.
Yeah, who go to lunch with him, even though he does this embarrassing thing, and are sort of like drawn to him, even though they can't quite articulate why. And he's just this weird dude, but like all he wants is to get featured on this YouTube channel because he is convinced that it will lead him to sandwich glory. And like, it is about the people who, despite not knowing why they're doing it, are helping him try to make it happen.
And his friends are kind of going like, no, you don't want to get involved with those people. Like they're, you know, like, those pranks, like people get hurt, property gets destroyed.
They're not going to care about you.
Is it worth at least artificially amplifying his motivation to make all this money?
Mm-hmm.
Just off the top of my head, perhaps his rescued cat needs some sort of an oral surgery that he can't afford. And
right.
Being, I don't know, some misguided, sort of economic, I don't know, some Ayn Randian, like, yeah. I refuse to go beg on one of these websites for, you know, for the money. I must earn it with the value of my
intellect. Sandwich.
Right, right. I don't want to put like something that's too sympathetic, you know,
right.
Or something that has kind of like a hard deadline. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, my cat is sick and will die if she doesn't have this surgery kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely down to give him a more concrete motivation than just sandwich themes.
Maybe it's just as simple as like, he just like, there's this house in town that like, he's always talked about, like, I would love to own that house. That's my dream house. Like, you know, like that's the house that I've always wanted to live in rather. One day they see that like it's on sale. So there's not a like super concrete ticking clock because who knows how long it'll be on sale. But like all of a sudden there's pressure.
Right. I like that idea a lot.
And so that kind of kicks off. I need a lot of money. I need it right now. What are my assets? I've got the Slamwich, the greatest sandwich ever invented. The most innovative with the greatest themes. Just the best sandwich. Let me take it to all of these delis. All the delis kind of go, please leave and never come back. And his friends are kind of like, well, I guess that's the end of that eccentric adventure. Thank God that like things will get back to normal now that Johnny is done with this sandwich madness. But Johnny isn't done with the sandwich madness.
He's only begun.
That's right.
I like that. So once he's exhausted the delis, then he sort of fixates on these YouTube influencers who live in his town.
Right.
The Rocca brothers.
Right. He kind of decides that it is a matter of exposure.
Yeah. It's not a question about him or his sandwich, obviously. Just needs to get the word out. And so then like that second movement, like you were talking about of the movie, is him trying to get these guys' attention. And his friends trying to mitigate the damage around him, trying to get them their attention.
Can I pitch a possible ending for this madness?
Oh, please? Sure.
So lots of like, you know, he keeps going to these like pranks that the Rocka brothers are putting together. It keeps going horribly wrong. He almost keeps getting badly hurt. Maybe other people get mildly hurt. And he's just kind of going like, my sandwich, you gotta try my sandwich. But throughout the entire movie, we never actually see anybody eating the slamwich. We never actually see anyone like trying it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he finally gets what he wants. Like, you know, the Rocka brothers are finally like, fucking fine. Like, you know, we'll try your fucking sandwich on like an episode of our show.
But they do it in an underwater car.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. That's not bad. I was thinking.
Say your thing. Sorry.
I was thinking that, like, you know, they like sit down and they're like, all right, we're trying this like guy's fucking sandwich. And they like, you know, bite into it. And at first it's like, yeah, not bad. Like, you know, this is a pretty decent sandwich. And then all of a sudden their faces are getting redder and redder because they don't realize that the slamwich is atomically spicy. And all of a sudden it is revealed that the actual plan was to be the man that pranked the prank masters of wherever Australia. And like, you know, he just like went down in history as the guy that like, you know, spice bombed the Rocka brothers.
I love that. I don't know how it makes him the money he needs to buy his dream house.
That's a good question. And it
because
may be
he has made a YouTube video, Shane Dawson style, like a 45 minute like documentary that hasn't been uploaded incrementally. It's just like the day after he gets them to eat the sandwich, he like drops this expose on what it took to prank the pranksters.
That's right.
And the ad revenue and subsequent brand deals that come flooding in to his life. After,
asked and answered.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
So now that we have this idea,
we need to get the underwater concert in there still.
Well, I wanted to kick the tires on an alternate pitch that would involve the underwater world, Sarah, where sandwiches no longer exist.
Ooh.
Because the nature of farming in vertical farms underwater make it very difficult to make bread a mass produced available product.
Sure.
Right. You get a lot of like, you know, you're like protein glop.
That's like, right.
Bread is tough.
That's right.
A lot of kale chips.
Tons of seafood. Like you got all you can eat sushi.
That's right. Mm-hmm,
but the sandwich has fallen out of existence. Maybe even been removed from the digital textbooks.
Oh, no, it's been memory holed.
And so, so our protagonist is the sandwich truther in the underwater future.
No.
That has, developed some, you know, something that is a retro throwback that maybe even he doesn't realize until after getting shut down again and again and again from the, you know, the, I guess, sort of corporate food holes that you can, you know, pitch new dishes to. He discovers the dark history of how the sandwich was erased from the human menu.
See, I want the like scene of him accidentally discovering the sandwich. Like he somehow gotten like unearthed like a packet of somehow still preserved like sliced bread, and he's like, "This is gonna be amazing!"
Oh my god, you know, he finds a thing of Wonder Bread, and it's still good because
it's somehow it's still good. It was like cryogenically frozen or something.
Yeah,
it's basically Twinkies.
Yeah, and so you know, like he gets it and some tuna, and you know, like bite of tuna, bite of bread, bite of bread, bite of tuna. Bite of tuna followed quickly by a bite of bread. You see him all of a sudden being like, huh, that's not bad. Put some tuna on the bread. Is eating it, just kind of like slowly inching towards like, puts it in. And like, you know, the choir of angels behind him is like, exactly. And on that choir of angels, that is time. That is 15 minutes.
Well, we have some options for this.
That's right. My God, what a bizarre, somewhat horrifying joy to revisit these terrible ideas from days gone by and find that there is still mileage for new stories.
Yeah, if any graphic novelists or illustrators want to create a comic book of the world without sandwiches, you have my blessing.
Just like we only request that you immediately let us know as soon as we can read it.
Yes.
make it, but like we want to read it. Well, folks, this has been episode one of our 100 episode celebration. But make sure to come back on Thursday for the more
the actual reflexive. Episode 100.
The actual episode 100, that's right. And that's going to be a sort of a little bit more of a reflexive creative corner chat about the show and where it's been and what it is. We can't wait to have you with us then.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valente. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Rena Sarame and Jennifer Schneider. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.